diving has like a, you guys have a really good school. There's always, you always get kids, you know, and then from there you can pick, and that's where the big guys come out. But we now, don't have that yet.
When you say school, you say NCAA.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You get all this rotation of big stars, you know, and a lot of them stay with diving. Others continue to do their things, but we don't have that yet.
And when you say that, you mean where?
In high diving. In high diving, it's like we get every now and then the diver that kind of switches to high diving, but we don't have the kids starting and like growing into high diving. So finally here at the Junior Worlds, we have them.
But do you think that's an attribute of like the age of the kids?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And that's why, you know, we kind of came up with different rules, a little bit lower. We have these different requirements to kind of force them to learn all the skills and everything.
And what are these requirements?
Well, they have to do, like, you know, like in diving, you have to do six groups. Yeah. You know, when you're diving, yeah, you have to do six groups. In high diving, we have like a little different setup. We do four of five groups.
Okay.
But there is like freedom, so you can do big dives. But for the kids, you have this requirement that they have to do one dive with a Barani.
Okay.
Then they have to do one without a Barani. So they learn both skills, you know? Not all of them are doing Barani, and all the dives. They learn all the skills. So it's kind of nice. It's a nice setup. And it's safe, you know? It's 12 meters, 15 meters. Nothing's going to happen from there.
I mean, so to speak. 15's still going to hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a good smack from 10 meters. It's not bad.
See, I never took a good smack from 10. I never wanted to. That's why I stuck to springboard. I did 10 meter a couple times. I got lost on a back twist rated, back 2.5, 1.5. And it was the first time ever. I wrap early.
Uh-huh.
I go to get in the pike early. And then I look like an airplane with my wing shot off. I twirled to the ground. I landed on my feet. My coach is like, dude, what were you doing? I'm like, I don't know. You were supposed to call me. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Different timing, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I think that's so cool. You know, springboard is so nice, so elegant and stuff. But yeah, it's different. So no, 15 meters is not that bad. 12 meters is...
You're standing, your head is at 12 meters.
Yeah, but you've seen the kids.
Like how? How?
It's cool. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty happy to see to see the kids like that age doing high dives.
And so growing up, you were in Colombia. And how did you get in the sport? How did that begin?
In my city, we had the Pan American Games in 1971. And so they built this sports complex where all the different facilities for the different sports are combined. So I used to play baseball. I did a little bit of judo, but everything was in the same unit. So easily you could walk and watch track and field, or you can go to see karate, or, you know, and I will go and play football, because I play a little bit of football, soccer with my friends. And then the pool was right next to it. And I love to go and sit in the stands and just watch the divers, you know. That's so cool, man. And like as a kid, when I went to the pool, I'd just run and, you know how you throw your head down and flip.
Just hope for the
best.
Yeah.
I used to do that. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And, you know, I went so many times to the pool to watch that one of the coaches went one time to me and my friends like, hey, you guys want to try? And we're like, yeah, sure. He's like, yeah, come tomorrow and we'll do some tests and then you guys can practice a little bit. The next day we were there and I mean, I fell in love with diving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was going to be fun running and jumping on. And now we started doing exercises, you know, doing all the stretches, all this thing. I was like, I just want to dive, you know. So when we go in the water, it was a lot of fun. The more I learned, the more I'd like it. So yeah, it was good fun.
And who was your first coach?
It was just a guy that had an age group, like a small club in my city. His name was Edinson. And it was a lot of fun. Like he made it a lot of fun. You know, we did a lot of exercises, a lot of, you know, like running, strength thing, but he always tried to make it a game.
Yeah.
You know, it was always a competition. It was always like, you know, who's going to do more? Who's going to do this? And he always made it fun. And he was the same with you know, diving training. We'll do the exercises, we'll do all the technique, but then the last 15 minutes, he goes, okay, you guys can go and play around. So we'll just go run around. And, you know, that's how, let's say, I think you fall in love with the sport. And then later, you know, it becomes
training. Yeah, but you fall in love with the training, you enjoy that side of it, you enjoy working with the coaches on that side once you get, you're still in love with it, but a different aspect of it. Because when you're a kid, you're just, you're having fun. You don't even know what you're doing. You're just trying stuff, you know, goofing around and one-upping your friends and just talking a lot of shit with them on the pool deck and having those conversations. Because, I mean, half the fun is waiting around with the guys, sitting in the hot tub.
Sending me lined in behind waiting.
Yeah. Just telling old stories, being kids.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, competition comes after, you know, then you start competing and you start to win and you get better and you go like, oh, okay, this is a different thing. And it switches, you know, but that first part, I think, and I think we all have that still, you know, when we're competing, we just focus on the competition. But like what you're saying, you're standing behind and you just, you know, joking around, having fun, and that's a big part of the sport that maybe people don't even realize. Mm-hmm.
And you originally were a platform diver or springboard diver? Where did that, how did that go?
You know, back in the day, we used to do both. I mean, okay. I'm way older than you. So it was kind of like, yeah, you did both. You know, nobody like really specialized on one or the other. You remember Greg Louganis, who was Olympic champion in platform and springboard.
Yeah.
And later on kind of specialized. So I used to do both, but then around like 91, I broke my wrist, you know, had a really bad, dive and then broke a small bone in my wrist. Mm-hmm. And,
scaphoid.
Yeah.
Every diver does a scaphoid.
So then, had to have surgery, and then it was like really uncomfortable to do handstands. So I'm like, okay, I think that's the end of my platform career. And then I went down to springboard, and then I did mostly springboard from 92 to 96. And that's when I stopped diving and made the move to high diving.
Now, how'd that transition go?
I went to do a show, like a diving show.
Mm-hmm. Where at?
In Austria.
Okay.
It was a whole bunch of...
At 47? Is it Area 47?
No, that didn't exist yet.
Okay.
No, it was like a safari park near Vienna.
Okay.
And they had the safari with all the animals in the back. And then here in the front, they had like amusement area. And it was different shows. And one of the shows was diving. And it had like gymnastics on the side and like a musical. So it was the three combined. It was really cool. And there was some friends of mine from Colombia working in the show. One guy was leaving, and they're like, we're looking for a diver. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like a fun season. It was like 7 months. And they're like, hey, do you wanna work with us? And then I just like, yeah, sure. I was in college. So I was like, yeah, sure. I'll just go and have fun. You know, I thought I'll take a break and come back. And then went over there and stayed. You know, so much fun learning again, mm-hmm. diving, but different, a little bit different kind of diving. And
still landing on your hands by that?
No. By then it was.
So you were all on your feet.
We had springboards, and yes, we did a few things from the springboard, but then everything else was 10, 12, 15, 21 meters.
Oh, wow.
So we just, then everything else was feet first. And it was kind of nice because, you know, just turned upside down and I was still diving and having fun.
And what were the dives you were doing in those shows?
Not from the very top. I used to do double half, flying gainer, triple half, one and a half twisting double.
Front triple half?
Yeah. That was kind of like the, you know, like the show dives. And then on 3 meters, we did just, you know, like the regular synchro dives, you know, 2.5, 3.5, back twist, reverse 2.5. And every now and then somebody would do like 3.5 pike or back 2.5 pike, but it was a show, you know, so anything you did, people liked.
Uh-huh. So, and then on the awareness side of things, you have to be really, really aware of where you're at, what you're doing in there. If you don't, you're screwed. I mean, from those heights specifically, you're gonna get hurt at some point. What, you know, like some people, I think, did you do trampoline prior? Trampoline, I'm assuming, helped your awareness significantly if you did trampoline prior. So you did.
We did a little bit. And I think, of course, diving training, it helps. But I think with diving, everything is too fast, you know? Like, I mean, you guys on 3 meter, you spin almost all the way to the water. Mm-hmm. We have to stop spinning and twisting like halfway, you mm-hmm. know? And then we find out everything where we are, you know, and try to time. Prepare for lineup. But yeah, you grab all those tools, you know, all that preparation from trampoline, from the pool, from even from the ground, even just visualizing. You use all of that. Like, I walk in this room and then I know that's the door over here, is the light, here is this lamp. And so you, immediately you know where you are, and you okay. have to do that because the locations change so much. You know, like most mm-hmm. pools look the same. You know, you always yeah. have the swimming pool in front of you, platforms back here, stands on both sides, you know. They change a little bit, some are indoor, some are outdoor, but it's pretty much the same setup. For us, sometimes we have building in the front, sometimes we're in a bridge and it's a river, sometimes we're in the open sea, or sometimes it's rocks. So you have to, the first thing you go is you go on the platform, you look around, and then you find all those spots and you go like, okay, this is what I'm gonna see. Oh. But all that comes back, all that comes from, like what you say, trampoline, you know, learning to find those reference points.
Because, I mean, we would take photos or look up photos of the pools that we were going at, so we knew, like, in real, we knew the pool, we knew what it looked like, we knew what was in front of you, what was going to be behind uh-huh. you. But I never thought about that from your perspective on, you know, it changes so much.
It does.
And the water level changes.
Yeah. If we're, like, if you're in a lake, you're in a river, okay, you're in luck because it's a little bit more stable. But sometimes we used to do this event in Portugal. That's like a crater, and we're diving on the outside. So it's the waves rolling and passing by every time. So the height is constantly less height,
yeah.
more high, less and more again. So it's actually crazy. You have to, not only you're going to have to adjust to the, you know, to the changing environment. Now the height is changing too, so you have to be prepared for that.
Now, are you specifically timing it, or is like, okay, I think now's the time to go? Is it?
You can try, you know, like you see how the waves roll and pass, the next one, and then it kind of stays for a little bit. So you can hit that on a front dive okay. or on a reverse dive, but on a back dive or an inward, you just kind of look and then you stand and get ready, but you gotta hope for it because you don't see it, you know? So sometimes it does happen, and you see it in the videos or something. You see the wave coming and you see the diver in the air and it just peaks and they go like really short on top of the wave because they're missing a good 2 meters, you know? So
jeez,
it happens. It happens every now and then.
That's intense. And you know, being in a competition like that, it's one thing to have your heart rate so high, sorry, in training, to have your heart rate so high and train like that. But once you get in competition, you know, it increases, it builds, and it's a different animal trying to manage your brain, yourself, and compete at the same time. You know, how did you manage that, and how did that differ, you know, between training and competition? Were you like we had a conversation yesterday, were you watching a scoreboard? They didn't have scoreboards. So, I mean, like, I watch a scoreboard.
Right.
Some people don't like watching the scoreboards.
Right. They don't want to hear it.
Exactly. So how did you manage that to compete the same way you trained?
I think it's hard, you know? I think it's hard because, I don't know, in training, you're so comfortable, you know? Most times it's you and your coach and a few friends, and you're going through this program, and things are, if it doesn't work, I go and do another one, and I don't feel good, I'll come back tomorrow, you know? So training has a few advantages. When you're in competition, it's a different thing. It counts, everything counts now. And I think, of course, being prepared really good, it helps. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, when you show up, you know it. When you show up and you stand and you're ready, and you know you've done it, you go like, okay, I know how to do this. Yeah. But if you're still struggling, if it's a new dive that you haven't done so many times, you're like, ooh, okay, this is the one that's giving me trouble. So mm-hmm. there's all these thoughts that start to come to you, and it's the added pressure of competition. Then the TV is with you, everybody's watching, you see all these people around. So it's all that.
And you're hyping up the crowd.
Yeah.
It's a different show.
You have to kind of learn how to put that aside, you know? And then, yes, up to that point, until the few seconds before, like you said, you're enjoying, everybody's cheering, you're saying hi to everybody. But then it's nice because I know you know this. You stand and then you go like,
it's quiet.
Anything can be happening around you and you just like, mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing, you know? And it's, even though it's like exciting, a little bit scary before the stress of competition, everything, you get to that moment there, it's like, okay, I know what I'm doing. For me, the next thing I knew, I was in the air already, you know?
So it's
really cool. Yeah, it goes. And then you just go in through the motions and you've done it, you know how to do it. All that fear is left behind and you're diving, going through the dive, and then you hit the water.
I've done it, but I've done it from 3 meters. Yeah, I mean,
it's the same.
That's what stopped me from doing 10 meter was like, man, we're up here. This is really, really going to hurt. And then 27, you've got, I mean, you can really, I mean, watching, okay, perfect example. I mean, I've seen Andy go short, he went short or over. I don't know where it was, but I remember him coughing up blood. And I mean, he landed bad. And I mean, the divers have to save him. I've watched Labou do, when Labou hit his face. And he still did the same.
Right.
It didn't stop him.
He kept rolling. You see his head looking for the water, looking for everything. And then he lands on his feet.
And I'm like, okay, Labou did this insane dive while hitting his face on the platform. So, I mean, there's a lot going into this, but yet you're still up there. I mean, I would never go off 27.
Yeah. I mean,
is it just growing into it?
I think, yeah, definitely. Definitely. We didn't start at 27. Let's say we progress into it because we used to do 21, 22, maybe 24. It was the high competitions. Mm-hmm. And then we found out that actually doing the lead ups from 10 meters, it will give you enough time to do a nice, comfortable brandy from 27 meters, you know? That's how 27 came up.
So 10 meters is kind of that's where you're doing your brandy.
Exactly. 10 meters, you finish your first part, and then from there down, it's a 17 meter brandy. So you have time to look, you have time to
that's a nice
to
break
do it
up.
Comfortable. Exactly. Okay. So we do all the lead ups to our feet on 10 meter.
Yep.
And then, you know, if this is working good and you have good rhythm and you're on your feet, it should be a brandy. Like a nice, long, comfortable. But you see people like Labou, maybe David as well, they're doing lead ups from 12 meters. Mm-hmm. You have more space to do more things, but now you have 15 meters only for the brandy. So it's a faster brandy and stuff like that. That kind of gives you a little bit of the comfort of saying like, okay, I can do it, you know? It's not like it's changing so much. And if we're afraid or something, it's just like, you know, that natural, you know, defense mechanism we have in the brain, you know, it's just protecting you because we're not supposed to do what we do. You're not supposed to flip around in the air, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what it tells you, hey, be careful. But I think with the training, you kind of trust that you can do it. You know how what it is.
It's the perspective of it.
You go like, okay, what am I supposed to do this? No, but I know how to do it. And then you manage to do it, even though if you're scared.
Yeah, but the fear for me was like, okay, I eat it, I'll get out of the water. I can go back up. I mean, I can do it again.
If you eat it flipping really fast, it hurts a lot. Even from 1 meter, you know that. So, you know, it's a little bit of, you have to learn how to control it. You know, like we don't spin all the way to the water. You guys do 4.5 and you're like, you know, we can't do that. We have, like I said, we have to line up the 15, 17 meters to see where we are to prepare to be perfectly vertical. Even on a vertical entry, you feel a little bit of a jolt. So you have to be on a good line. So yeah, I mean, it's one or another, you know, you have to know that if something goes wrong, it's going to hurt. So you better be prepared to be vertical in that dive.
But that's a good perspective to have of where you break it up. You know, you're at the 12 meter, you've done your dive of 12 meter, but then you have a 15 meter drop just to do your branding. Simple. And I'm assuming that's the perspective you guys have the whole time, or else if you start viewing it in different manners, your wheels start turning and next thing you know, you're not doing anything.
I know. If you see people freeze on the platform,
have you done that?
Never.
Really?
I couldn't. Because what I always tell the guys is, if I show up here this morning, is because I'm diving. The maybe the safety crew is going to tell me, hey, Orlando, no diving. There is something in the water or whatever. They will stop me. But me, I'm focused from when I got in the plane at home. I know what I need to do.
You've already committed.
Yeah, I have to. Like you said, the risk is too much for you to go up there doubting things. So to me, every time, if I walk up to the platform, if I start making my ways because I'm ready. But some of my friends, you know, everybody's different. Yeah. Some of my friends just show up, go on the platform, stand, they're ready, and walk back. I was like, oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Really?
I cannot do that. And they go back out second time. Oh, no, go back again. You're like, whoo. And then on the third time, they do it. I'm like, that's crazy. I couldn't do that. I have to go on the first one. If I walk to the edge, I'm diving, man.
So you've never boxed?
No. If it's windy, I'd rather wait, just kind of, you know, wait a little bit. It's a little bit windy when you feel like it's a little bit better. Then I step ready and really quick.
If the wind picks up, you're still going.
I wait ready and then I dive. You know, kind of like Ukrainian, Russian style that they just stand and go.
They don't waste time. Yeah, so, I mean, they were like, oh, come on, give me the buzzer so I can go.
Yeah. I remember Dimitri and some of these guys was like,
and he's already gone
already. He was already doing the first step. So
yeah.
You gotta have to do some of those.
Now, did you watch Dimitri a lot?
Yeah. Greg, Dimitri. It was like an inspiration, you know. It's nice diving, very, very controlled. Like Greg, super elegant. Greg worked with us for many years too.
Yeah.
So it's so much fun.
Who is the origin of diver that you watched growing up that inspired you?
Oh, Greg, definitely.
100% Greg. If you had to pick one, that's who it is.
I started diving in 86.
Okay.
You know, so he just won the Olympics in 84. He was winning the Olympics in 88. He hit his head. He comes back. He wins. It was just beautiful to watch him dive. We used to have the VHS tapes of Greg, and my friends would just sit in my house and play the video, and we watch over and over and over his dives. It was amazing to see him, you know. Of course, then diving, you know, develop into what it is now. Mm-hmm. That is huge.
But
back then it was that, you know. Then you guys revolutionized everything. You guys went with new tools, you know, new springboards, faster, better, lighter. Everything is much better. And of course, you kind of, let's say I stay involved watching, following everything. But you know, finding inspiration on diving always, you know, it's the original sport.
Now how old were you when you started watching Greg?
86, I was 11 years old.
Okay, so you started when you were a kid. After, you know, you watched Greg, who was kind of the one that also kept that going? Because, you know, we talked about this the other day with some friends. We were sitting at a table and we said, all right, pick two divers that you could, one that, you know, you watched growing up, the guy you really inspired, and then the next one who really kept you going throughout your career that you looked up to and kind of strived to be like or followed.
Yeah, like I said, I'm much older than you guys. So Dimitri was one of those, you know.
Oh, I mean,
I think he was, you know, like cold-blooded, you know. He just did the things.
He was a killer.
Yeah, he just did the things. I love his style of diving. Greg was still diving for a few years, you know, when I was growing up. But now, you know, later in the years, I've always like, you know, like going to the later years, David, you know,
Badiah.
It's just amazing, you know, you yourself diving against the Chinese. It's like,
dude,
to beat the Chinese is you got to be really good.
Yes, it feels like you're trying to conquer the world by beating them.
And to be honest, like, I mean, unfortunately, I don't know their names very well because they change so much.
They do.
There's so many of them, and they're all good. So for you guys that beat them, that you guys win against them, it was like, I mean, that is, it's inspiring, you know, because for a while it was like China 1 and 2.
Everywhere.
And then
you go.
People started coming like, wait a minute, no. You know, Mitchum. Yeah, David.
Dyer, Lori Wilkinson.
Wilkinson, you came into second, but you beat the second, you know, we didn't used to do that, you know? So that's inspiring. Like for me as a high diver, I know for the kids that are now watching you, you know, the kids that watch you and get inspired, it's like, oh, we can do it. You know, I can do it too. I'm from Colombia, you know. I'm not supposed to win.
But you were doing this in Red Bull. So, exactly. I mean, you're also paving that way for the other athletes to look back on that. And they're all starting to do and follow in that direction. I mean, Kulturi's doing, you were you the first to do Gainer Twister?
There was a Russian diver that did it before. Mm-hmm. But he was struggling quite a lot with the takeoffs. I think he was just a little bit scary. And he crashed a couple of times. Like,
oh, bad.
Really?
Bad.
You know, like how if you have you jump out, you got no rotation. He's twisting, 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 twisting. We tried to brandy. It's just no space. A couple of times.
He was, oh, okay.
Yeah. So before I did it, I made sure that I was like, you know, doing a really nice takeoff. Greg used to do reverse twists on 10 meters. So it was like watching Greg a lot.
He did it walking?
No. He did it standing.
He did it standing? Okay.
Reverse 3.5 twist on 10. And it was beautiful. So it kind of, you know, going back to like, yeah, maybe something like this we can do. So work on that quite a lot. Now, Kulturi is doing 5 twists. That's a different game. And it's crazy because I did, like my lead up was 3.5 twist on 7 meter to my feet.
3.5 twists on 7 meter.
Yeah, to my feet. So you do. So it's
you
a little
really
bit slower.
Stand, yeah, but you exactly. got to stand
exactly.
it up. But then get into it, which
Kulturi does 4.5 twists on 10 meters. That's even slower. So it's a lot of twisting.
Yeah.
And not a lot of spinning, and then to his feet.
Because on springboard, it's hard to control.
Right.
Because you're letting it go up, but then you really have to get into it.
And if you do it, if you time it wrong, the body starts to turn.
Start rotating.
And then when you stop.
Squaring.
You know, you want to go that way, but you're sideways, yep. So you're going that way. It's really uncomfortable if you do it wrong. So, you know, we work it out. We manage to find the right lead ups, the right technique, because it changes a little bit. I mean, it's not like doing it to your head. Mm-hmm. It's way slower, and you have to make sure you're straight. Otherwise, you're gonna start casting. So, yeah, let's say we had to. When the regulations start to change and every few years we add one thing or take mm-hmm. one thing out, you gotta grab the list of dives and go like, I think I can do this, and then work it up.
So you just look at, you're looking at the list.
Yeah, because you're trying to do the hardest dive that you can still do or you can, let's say, develop. So you look and you go like, well, this looks difficult enough. Let's try.
There's
to
some
that,
good
you know?
DD.
Right. I think I can do that. How am I going to do it? And then you start to break it into pieces at the pool, work it up maybe from 5 meters. Oh, no, 7 meters. Okay, 7 works. Some you have to take all the way to 10. So it's actually good fun. It's a different process.
And how is the DD determined?
Pretty much the same. Like in diving, we use a formula very similar to diving.
Okay.
Just a few things change. You know, you have in diving the unnatural entry, which is the back in reverse. You don't see the water. You kick and the water is behind there. You know, you're looking everywhere but
you're
the
looking
water.
In front of you to say, okay, the water's back there.
We have it. We call it blind, mm-hmm. But we have it in front and inward.
Okay.
Because we go to our feet. So you're looking there and the water is here. And then you line up and you see it at the last second. So those bonuses kind of interchange, you mm-hmm. know, the back and reverse, we take it out and we add it to the front and inward. Of course, the entry is feet first. The Brani, this really is the easiest way to hit the water because you see it the whole time, like a
you're
front
looking
lineup.
At everything.
Like a front lineup, yeah? The same thing. So that has no value.
Okay.
One somersault with half twist is worth nothing.
Really?
Because it's the easiest way. So you get, you know, you get bonuses or you add all these elements, the takeoff, the approach, the spins, the twist, the position. But if it's a Brani, you don't get nothing. If it's a blind entry or if it's a back entry, you get a little bonuses depending on the summer. So it's pretty similar to diving. We just have to adapt all these little things.
Now, touching on the direction of things, did you have a preference of direction?
Yeah, like back and reverse, but twisting. My last years of diving, mm-hmm. that was my favorite dives, back twist and reverse twist. I used to do back 3.5 twist and reverse 3.5 twist on 3 meter. So it was my favorite, you know, it felt really good. It felt really comfortable. And then I managed to, let's say, transfer those. In high diving, you can do that.
Yeah.
In your options, you can do back twist, reverse twist, front twist. We separate
it. You can double up or triple up.
Exactly. As long as it's a different direction, you can do all twists. Mm-hmm. So that's what I used to do in competition for many years. Back twist and reverse twist. Back twist and reverse twist. So much fun. It feels really cool.
But then spotting for you, do you spot fronts? Do you spot inwards?
Yes.
Really?
It's and inwards, I hated it. I did it very few times. And actually coming out of a twist, it's almost like an inward, because a lot of times if you're on a cliff, you turn around and you stop and what you see is rocks in front of you and then there's the water.
Yeah.
So didn't like that too much, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
But when I say spotting, were you spotting each flip?
No. Okay. Kind of like, and then I see the bottom part.
Okay, because a lot of the Chinese are starting to spot their fronts. You see them on a front 3.5 pike, they're looking every single time, which is
crazy.
I never noticed I spotted fronts until in a competition in, gosh, we were in Ohio. And I started seeing the ceiling. And it was just in the meet, I was like, I told my coach, I'm like, I'm seeing the ceiling. And he's like, really? Well, keep seeing the ceiling. And I was like, oh, I guess. But then in practice, I never recognized it. But then I think when my adrenaline was up, I'd see the ceiling and be like, oh, okay. And I spoke with Nick McCrory about it, years later, asking, because he was just a cat, found everything.
Right.
And then he started spotting the ceiling, but he spotted the ceiling all the time. And I'm like, well, that makes a little more sense. Because I didn't think I spotted fronts. It was just a feel. You know, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, there we go.
Right.
Whereas backs and gainers, I didn't learn how to spot until, you know, I was a sophomore in college.
It's crazy because you guys do.
Well, I ate a lot of shit from on 3 meter because I didn't spot, you know.
Crazy.
Doing reverse, I was just whabam.
Crazy.
And I mean, you whip and it's like, you're. It doesn't.
No, it's crazy because, like, really, you guys do big dives. Like I said, you're spinning, you know, and it's almost down to the water. So if you don't know where you are, it's gonna be intense, that lineup.
But that's why I never did backs and gainers on 10 meter. I never competed 10 meter on backs and gainers. I had front, inward, back twist, arm stamp, but I never did backs and gainers on that because they didn't.
It's my coaches, terrifying. Yeah.
My coaches knew.
He doesn't spot, let's not do
that. Yeah, but then I started to slowly figure it out on like reverse. Reverse was easier to spot, but then back 3.5 on 3 meter was like,
right.
It goes, so the first flip I'd spot, but then you really have to get in and I'd squeeze as hard as I could, but then it picks up and then you got to react real quick on that come out or else you're just whipping it over again.
I know. It spins by everything so fast. Like really, I watch you guys in 3 meters and you go like.
How
do you
slow
it
down and you see people moving? Like Bataya was incredible.
I never did front 4.5, never. And when I look at it, I go like, I don't know how do you guys do it? You know,
but it's a good,
so quick.
I
can't imagine.
It feels so good when you get you get the perfect tuck and you squeeze as hard as you can and it's like, oh, here we go.
Like I love those pictures they do of you guys with just like
with your face. Yeah.
That's how fast it's going. I mean, really, I think people don't understand that. That's how fast it's going, that your skin is staying behind and you're turning so fast.
But you spotted backs and gainers as well. No problems, no issues.
Yeah.
That was like a
backs and gainers, I think it was easier. And you know, it was, again, you guys were the change. You know, we did front 3.5 pike, back 2.5 pike, reverse 2.5 pike. It's a little more friendly. Yeah. You know, it's more friendly. You have a little bit of, it's a different timing. It's a little bit slower. You see everything and it's nice. You guys went 4.5, back 3.5, reverse 3.5, inward 3.5. Everything was way faster for you guys. So I think I had the friendly part of diving, you know? Still managed to spot everything, see everything. Still on 10 meters, everybody was doing front 3.5 pike, back 2.5 pike. A few people in my country were doing 3.5s, but.
But it's getting to the point now that people can't, can you do more?
I know.
We've got guys doing number 3.5 pike. Back 3.5 tuck, can they do back 3.5 pike? I don't know. The reverse 3.5 pike, Housding was doing reverse 3.5 pike.
I know, man.
I mean, we'll see front 4.5 pike.
Yeah.
Triple out, I mean, what I question, is it gonna expand and go, are we going to have to raise and do a 5 meter springboard? Are we going to have to do a 1 meter, take 1 meter and bring it to two? Imagine people doing front 4.5 on 2 meter springboard. But how do we implement that into the sport? Because it's, if we add a 2 meter springboard, everybody in the world's going to have to, you know, lay cement or make a stand and get the board up that high. So
it'd be interesting, mm-hmm. you know? I think 1 meter right now got to the point where like almost everybody is dipping the board, you know?
Yeah, Yonah Knight Wisdom's putting it, you know, 8 inches into the water.
Every dive, you know? But I think it's, you know, this new elements, this new springboard, so much lighter, so much faster, so much better. You know, what else, what are we going to have to do? You know,
yeah.
I think that's an interesting question to see where the sport's going to go.
Yeah.
On 10 meters is crazy. There's people that's asking for a little more space to do more stuff because it's like, okay, I think we've reached
from
4.5 pike.
Yeah.
That's a big dive, man.
I mean, is 5.5 going to happen? At some point it will, but it's like that is, especially if you have 10 meter. I mean, I could see it, a springboard 3 meter. You have to have an animal of a guy that can spin and jump, but it could potentially be done. But that's you're finishing it right there at the water. So, who knows?
That's tough too.
Yeah.
But I think that's how 4.5 started to come. Everybody was a little bit short and now they're piking out of it.
And I'm sure back in the day, people would say, they'd question, oh, are people going to be able to do that? And now they're already doing it. So,
yeah.
But I mean, like a 5 meter springboard event.
Crazy.
Could you imagine
that? I think back in the day they used to do that. If you ask Steve and Tom, they were crazy enough that I remember seeing videos of a mini springboard on 10 meters and they were doing crazy dives. I'm like, this guys, I don't know what you guys are. I think they were doing like the back 2.5s with 1.5 twist back in the day, but on like a 10 meter springboard, it was like it had a really small bounce. So you don't know. I mean, I don't know where this is going to go, but it has more potential.
And people put those mini tramps on 10 meter too. And now you're starting to see guys at just random kids take these mini tramps, go to some random quarry or whatever it is, a bridge.
Or a rope swing and doing all these crazy things.
But they're doing really well at it. I mean, they're just launching themselves off of it and going for it. And I'm wondering, like, do you get contacted by a bunch of these kids a lot?
Some of them come to our events and let's say they're good, man. Like they know where they are.
Yeah.
You see them on videos and they flip upside down, turn, and they land on their feet somehow. but of course, you know, it's not like in high diving, there is, of course, a certain structure that you have to follow. If you don't have the technique, then it's just, you can't do the dives,
yeah.
You know, so it's not going to be. But I think they don't do it because of that. They don't do it to compete. They don't do it to win. They do it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
They just travel around, find these crazy places, set up their mini tramp and start jumping around. It's good fun. I think it's the fun part of the sport.
That's what everybody loves about it, is the gathering of the people, getting together, messing around, having a good time. It's the training aspect of it that they all, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Love. Exactly. That's what we were talking about. You just stand behind and you're just having fun, waiting for your turn. It takes a little while, so.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Diving is a lot of fun. I think, you know, it has those two sides. The really fun part where you enjoy everything. And of course, the competition. That's very serious. That's very official. That you want to win, of course, but yeah, in general, it's just a lot of fun.
Did you prefer training or competing?
I mean, competing is a lot of fun, you know, but in training, like, you know, you have more freedom to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You can do something easier, you can do something hard, you can try something new. Competition, as fun as it is, because, you know, you want to win. I enjoy competing quite a lot. But in training is where you get to do a whole bunch of different stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
It's the journey of it all.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. When you put it together, it should come out a good competition, but the whole process is a lot of fun.
And so when you're competing, the origin of cliff diving started, you know, with a competition, was it always 27 meters for the men and 20 for the women?
No. At first, it was just men. Like when I started in 99, it was just men diving.
Okay.
And then the women came at like around 2011 or something. But no, it was lower. We used to do like between 21 and 24.
Okay.
And it was just, you know, 25 sounded like a good round number, you know, like 25. That's about what we did. But we would do a lot of 21 because it was like a summer season, mostly in Europe, and we were diving like almost every weekend.
Okay.
So when it's like that, it's kind of harder to recover, you know, to be ready for the next event. So 20 meters is more friendly, 21 is more friendly. And then when we spread it out, then it starts to go higher, 24, 25. And then eventually we kind of stumble into like, okay, the lead up from 10 meter, it worked really good to 27. So we kind of standardized 27. And when the women came in, we kind of, with all the everything that we knew, we said, okay, 20 meters is a good height.
Okay.
And that's what they're doing.
Okay. And have you gone over 27?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've done 30 meters a few times.
Where was this?
In Victoria Falls in Zambia. We did 30 meters.
And what dive did you do?
Flying front, yeah. When I go really high,
it's just... That's my I did flying front off 15. That's the only thing I trust is a flying front.
Yeah. That's my, like when everything gets really difficult, I go, yeah, it's a flying front. And then I did about 34 meters of a bridge in Italy and I did a double half.
So no flying front?
No.
You were trusting that one that day?
Yeah. Back then it was double half because that was like 2002. I didn't do flying front back then in 2002.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a double half. And then when I started doing flying fronts, I'm like, oh no, this is my dive. When it gets really complicated, this is what I'm doing. But that's about it. 34 meters. Now there's a guy, a Swiss guy, his name is Lasso Schaller. He did 59 meters. He just jumped, but it's 59 meters.
When was this?
That was a few years ago, maybe like 6 years ago. And he was going to go higher, but the level of the water in the canyon was up. So he jumped from 59 meters, but I think he was planning on doing like 64 or 65 meters or something. And he just jumped. But he planted, he attempted, he built a small platform, he jumped from it. It's crazy. Have a look at it. It's so much fun to watch.
I haven't seen this.
You see it.
Wait, you see the fall? Is it one where you see the actual falls?
Yeah.
I think I might have seen this.
You see everything and he's falling and it's pretty cool.
Is that the world record?
It is a world record. I think it's 58.9. Uh-huh. So close to 59. But it is crazy, man. He's a diver, like a high diver. He likes it. He doesn't do too many, like very high dives, but he's a canyoning guide. So does this crazy, they do this like expeditions on the canyons and they climb and they abseil and they jump into this little waterfall. They slide on these natural slides.
Okay.
And I think from there is where he started jumping really high. So he actually does the jump with shoes on, wetsuit. I think he has a harness even, and because he's in his canyoning gear and he jumps with all that.
I'm with like, shoes though. I jumped off 10 meters with shoes and it hurts.
I know.
Because it hurts your back. It's a flat surface that is just, it's so much more of an impact. I did it for a photo shoot once in Miami off 10 meter.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. With shoes, I like, people is like, oh, if you wear shoes, it's not softer. I'm like, no, it hurts more.
You know?
It actually hurts more. So have a look. It's really good fun because it's, you know, we that understand, you look and you go like, oh, no, man, that's crazy.
And you think that's crazy.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
That's a strong statement.
That's out there. That's somewhere out there.
Now, do you think the competition height is going to get higher? Or you think it's going to stay the same for a while? 27 is the set.
I think still it's going to stay around there because it's pretty safe. Let's say we find a way to make it really safe. No, I mean, really, in reality, it is safe.
Really?
When we look at the statistics, let's say the incidence, small, it happens.
Okay.
It happens every now and then, like in every sport. You know, you sprain, you turn a muscle and everything, but that happens. That's normal. But let's say big accidents, it doesn't happen very often. So let's say that's good. We managed to find a good balance of at 27 meters, we're okay. There's still a lot of big dives to do.
Now the dives are
growing. Now the divers are doing more things. Like Aidan Heslop, he's I think he's 21 now, mm-hmm. but he started when he was 17 competing with us. Now he's doing his lead ups up to 20 meters.
So his lead ups are on 20.
So he's taking.
What's he competing?
He's using more space. He's doing a front quadruple with 3.5 twists.
So he's doing, when is he twisting?
The beginning. So he does, on 10 meters, he does the 2.5 with 3 twists.
Okay.
And then he takes it to 20 meters and he does a triple with 3.5 twists.
Okay.
And then to 27, he adds one more somersault to it. But he's spinning, like I said, almost all the way to the water.
So he's doing a triple out on 10 meter.
A triple in.
Triple in.
That it kind of rolls into like the 1.5 and then kind of rolls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's doing the triple in and then adding everything else onto mm-hmm. that after. Mm-hmm. But then at 20 meters, he's doing what again?
The same thing, but he ends on a branny. Like a front 2.5 with 3 twists, but he does a branny.
But then afterwards, he does a flip and then a branny.
Uh-huh.
That's hard to decipher.
When you watch it, it's like, when you first see it, you go like, whoa, wait a minute, what was that? And then when he told us, you go like, oh, okay, I see it now. But if you just see it without knowing what it is, you go like, whoa, wait, what was that? How many was that?
It's pretty cool.
And then Constantine is doing quadruple back with 3 twists.
Okay.
So it's a 2.5 twister.
Yep, 2.5 twister, flip, branny out.
Flip,
branny out.
So they're going all the way. He's doing the same thing with the back handstand. So, you know, there's big dives there. Couture is doing 5 twists, reverse 5 twists. So I think there's still space to do more dives, to do big dives.
Did the guys always do all the twisting at one time, or do they break it up throughout the dive? Oof,
Gary does that. Gary used to do front triple with 4.5 twists. So he will run 2 twists, come out, look at the water, wrap 2 more twists, and then branny. That was cool.
So it's like a double out, branny out.
Exactly. That was cool. But he really break into the first 2 and look, and then wrap again, look, and then branny. That was cool.
There was a guy, Evgeny, Russian guy, uh-huh. I forget his last name, but he dove with Ilya and did synchro. He used to do double out, but he'd do full. And I never understood why. I'm assuming he'd get lost in a double out or something like that. But he did full, and I was like,
probably.
That looks weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, you're not used to seeing that.
Yeah. I think it's cool when you get to, you know, you see those changes, you know. Back in my time, it was back 3.5 twists. What you did as your twisting dive on 10 meters, mm-hmm. because there was no twisting and somersaulting to combine. Ah. And then people started doing back 2.5 with 1.5 twists, and you're like, we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool to see those changes or see different ways to do the dive.
Yeah, because they split them up, break them up. That's cool. Very cool. Well, cool, man.
Thank you. Yeah, this is good fun.
Glad we could chat, talk shit. And
talking about diving.
Who
would have thought, you know? Most times you're talking about other stuff. This is just sharing good stories. So mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're excited to kick this off. And it's just something to... It's really just built for the diving world to just...
Keep it up.
Tell stories, keep talking. And we'll have more podcasts as I keep traveling with Duraflex. And... We'll keep setting up studios and just picking everybody's brains and having a good time.
Keep it up. There's a lot of good stories. There's a lot of inspiring stories.